Good morning, everyone. I'm here to present this paper, Performance Bounds for Tracking the Multipath Environment. My name is Sachinder Kanaratne, and I'm from University of Melbourne. Co-authors of this paper are Mark Molande, Bill Moran, and Stephen Holland. So this is the outline of the talk. Now, if you see here, I have drawn a typical multipath environment. So you can see the target, the transmitter, and the sensor. So in pink color, I have marked the direct path. So as you can see, in addition to the direct path, you get lots of multipath due to these buildings, surrounding buildings. So now, in this paper, what we are interested in is finding the performance bound, or sorry, finding the lower bound for the mean squared error in estimating this target state in this urban environment. So convention radar systems assume line of sight communication, and usually, like as one of these previous presentations informed, like we either try to treat them as interference and try to mitigate them. And, now, in radar in an urban environment, you really cannot guarantee that line of sight is always be there. And apart from that, due to the surrounding clutter, you get loss of reflection. So if you think about that in a different way, that other reflections or multiple reflections might contain some additional information. So that has led, that has been a very active research topic in the recent past. So here we are. Now existing work. You can see various assumptions. For example, wall locations are known beforehand, wall reflectivities are known. You assume the number of targets to be known, and sometimes, like in the literature, like they assume to like specific geometrical relationships. For example, the walls becoming walls parallel to be each other, or your geometry is a narrow canal. So what we want to do here is try to, as much as possible, try to relax these assumptions. And another thing to note is that in this literature, this filtering stage is preceded by detection stage. For example, what that means is, as shown in this diagram, radar measurements, you directly feed that into detection stage instead of the filtering stage, and this detection outcome is fed to filtering algorithm. Now, it has been shown in the past that for a probability of detection less than 1, directly feeding radar measurements would yield better results. So this is our assumptions and extensions in finding this lower bound. So we assume it's that our target is a point scatterer, and building locations are known. We have mirror reflections, and we disregard high order reflections. We use multiple transmitters and receivers, and this receiver consists of a phase array antenna with L number of elements. And we model building reflectivities as Gaussian random variables. And another thing we've done is, like, each multipath we subject it to a random phase shift. Why we are doing that is because even though we assume that the building locations are known, for example, we might have a map in advance, but it might be the case that there are could be some uncertainty associated with that. For example, the map may be accurate for a couple of centimeters. So if you are using radar in, say, gigahertz range, we have a typical resolution in a couple of centimeters. So that uncertainty could be quite significant. So in essence, by modeling this random phase shift, we are capturing that uncertainty into our model. So our model becomes more robust. And so we are using pre-detection measurements for filtering. What I mean is, we are getting rid of this stage and directly feeding raw radar measurements to the filtering algorithm. And we don't impose any restrictions on this geometrical setup, so no restrictions whatsoever. So let's move on to modeling. So our state space can be partitioned into three components: target dynamics, consisting of XY location in the Cartesian plane, and the corresponding velocities denoted by X dot and Y dot. And we have this wall reflectivity is denoted by EZ, and this collection of random phase shifts denoted by psi k. Now, okay. So this is how our state evolves. Our target state evolves in a linear fashion. Is it the collection of wall reflectivities? We have modeled them as a Gaussian random variables with mean mu z and covariance p z, and psi k, the collection of phase shifts, is modeled as a uniform distribution. Now, measurement model. So, for simplicity, I have shown only a single transmitter receiver pair and only two parts. So, but the idea can be generalized to multiple transmitter receiver pairs and multiple parts. So, this measurement function G contains things like attenuation, delay, Doppler, and steering vector. And this exponential term is the one that I described about earlier regarding the uniform phase shift. Now, what the receiver gets here is the summation of all those components added up at the sensor. Okay, so let me briefly introduce posterior Kramer-Raoul lower bound, so OPCRB for short. If let's say x is a random vector of random parameters and y be a vector of measured data, and if g of y is an estimate of x, we have this lower bound on this estimation given by this inverse of this information matrix. This j is known as the information matrix. And Chaikevsky and his team proposed a recursive method to find this PCRB. And that's the methodology that we are using to in our setup. Now, when we are applying Chaikovsky's method, it turns out that certain quantities are not quite so straightforward to calculate. So let's see how we have gone on about finding that. We end up with a set of equations like this. I don't want to discuss these equations. They are included in the paper. So things like these gradients, they are not so straightforward to calculate. So, let's see. Now, this is a typical path from a target to the sensor. So, this is only one half of the path. So, another path which I have not shown here exists from the transmitter to the target. Now, suppose there are capital L number of walls, and for each wall, we select a reference point, and we choose it such that it is the bottommost point of the wall. Now, in case the wall is parallel to the horizontal axis, we choose the leftmost point. And this distance from this reference point to the reflection point, we denote it by d subscript l. Now, because we assume that the building locations are known, we know this angle this wall makes with the horizontal axis, and we know this point, reference point. So using this distance, we can parameterize this reflection point, as shown here. Now, it turns out that the quantities we need to find the PCRB can be expressed in this form, where these functions, if we need to calculate partial derivatives functions like this, where they are in turn functions of these distances d1 to dl, and delta 1 to delta is the corresponding distance from the other path that I have not shown here. So by using the chain rule, you can find these derivatives simply by using this method. Now, once again, we still need to find these quantities given by this dabba d over dabba x and dabba delta over dabba x. Now, so still it remains to find these quantities. So this is how we do that. Now, remember we have parameterized these points using these distances. So using these two points, I can write an expression for this angle using these two points, which I have shown here. Then you can do the same thing for the point immediately after the target. And finally, for the angle of arrival shown here. Now what you do is you take the first equation and then solve this for d subscript capital L, and you end up with a function of x, y, and theta. So you do the same thing for this equation, and solve it for d subscript simple L, and you end up with a function of dL plus 1 and theta. And finally, obviously this function, final function is a function of this distance d1. Now we can express the recursive relationship between the partial derivatives by expressing the partial derivatives in this form, where alpha L and eta L are related to alpha L plus 1 and eta L plus 1 using this relationship. And you can start the recursion by alpha subscript capital L and eta subscript capital L by simply using this equation. So once you find alpha 1 and eta 1, you can easily work back to find dr but eta over dr but x, and also work back to find the quantities that you need. So let me illustrate. So you start the recursion by alpha subscript capital L and eta subscript L, and you work back until you find alpha 1 and eta 1. And once you find those two quantities, you can find dr by theta over dr by x using this relationship. Now, once you find that, so you can, now you have all the quantities needed to evaluate the terms on the left-hand side, which is all we need to finally find the partial derivatives. So let me give you the typical numerical example. So here you can see that and the blue lines correspond to some ball, to walls, and we have the target trajectory marked by a dashed line, and here you have the transmitter and the receiver. So this is the PCRB for position estimate. So this red blue line corresponds to the PCRB with multipath, and the red line without multipath. So as our intuition suggests, we have a lower bound. Our bound is lower for the case with multipath, which suggests that there is some additional information which we can exploit for our advantage. And this is the same graph for velocity estimation. And yeah, so in future we want to implement a filter for this setup. It's quite challenging because, like, we have introduced more parameters to our model, random ball reflectors and phases. So it's quite challenging to find to implement a filter. Then we want to also look at multiple targets and possibly unknown number of targets, and then relax the assumption that ball locations and obstacles are known, and probably look at waveforms that can give better results, and also resource scheduling problem. Yeah, that's all.
Please wait for the microphone, please.
In your derivative right now,
you assume that all the points of reflections at all the walls are exactly known, right?
Yes. All the wall locations.
And even within the wall, it could reflect more towards the beginning or the end. I mean.
Yes, but once you know the geometry, you can easily, using coordinate geometry, work out which points you those reflection points are.
Like a ray tracing type of.
Yes, exactly.
And okay, then the comment would be actually in radio frequency. I've heard that the most obvious reflectors in urban scenes are actually traffic signs and metal poles, not walls. Mm. So I don't know if radar is exactly the same, but you might want to look into this. And
yes, exactly.
They actually operate more like point scatterers, not like a reflector.
Mm. Yes, just and a also comment. We use mirror reflections, which there could be other types of reflections, but for simplicity's sake, use mirror reflections.
Just a comment.
Other questions? You assume isotropic radiation.
Yes.
I mean, this relates to the previous question. How can you make sure of the number of paths that you have and number of scatterers that you have along the way?
We basically do a ray tracing model and work that beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we go by that.
Okay. Okay, this brings this session to an end. Thank you for attending, and please join me in giving all the speakers another round of applause.